It's a late summer afternoon in 1957. The sun has that soft gold light that makes chrome sing. An attendant in a crisp cap wipes your windshield with a practiced sweep, offers a rag and a smile, and asks if you'd like the oil checked. Your children shuffle in the back seat with sticky knees. Someone in the family says, "Let's stop for pie." The gas pump reads a number that feels like a mummy, a few dimes for a tank. And the whole ritual is part service, part theater, and part neighborhood.
Good evening, and welcome to Financial Time Machine. I'm Megan Thomas. Tonight, we're stepping back into another chapter of everyday American life, exploring the money, culture, habits, and quiet routines that shaped previous generations. Somewhere between nostalgia and history, there's usually a lesson. Let's find it.
Tonight's promise, we'll follow the ribbon of asphalt from full-service gas stations to neon diners and into the family budgets folded into every stop. We'll trace how the rituals of fueling, filling, and stopping for a slice nudged spending habits, normalized small credit, and quietly rewired how families planned for both errands and pleasure.
After World War II, America's roads changed faster than most neighborhoods. Car ownership expanded, highways unfurled, and with them came businesses designed for motion, stations that promised a full-service stop, diners that flipped burgers 24 hours a day, little motels that knew your name by the second night. These places didn't just sell a product, they sold a routine.
Full-service gas stations were everywhere by the 1950s and early 60s. An attendant pumped the gas, topped off your oil, wiped your windows, checked your tires. For a small extra fee, or sometimes just as a courtesy, you got those little attentions that made driving feel cared for. Economically, stations became neighborhood hubs, not only points of sale for fuel, but places to ask for directions, hear local news, or put a charge on the station's account. That small trust, putting a few dollars on a tab, was an early, everyday form of credit.
This era's numbers read differently than ours. A gallon of gas often cost under 30 cents. A slice of pie at a diner might have been pocket change to a child. But those tiny sums added up into household decisions. How often to drive, whether to take a weekend jaunt, whether to keep a little cash reserved for roadside emergencies. Car culture created a new line item on family ledgers. Fuel, maintenance, tips, quick meals. And for many households, that line required planning. Picture a Saturday. You pack a picnic, fold a paper map, and set off. The sound of a diner bell pulls you in at noon. The waitress, sharp, smiling, fills your coffee before you even order. You leave a few coins in the ashtray for the jukebox, tip the attendant for an extra clean of the windshield, and continue down Route 66 or a local state road. Those small acts, picking up a pie, paying for a wash, letting a mechanic keep a tab, were woven into routines of travel and care. They were planned for in some homes and improvised in others. They were also social. People knew the station attendant, recognized the diner regulars, and that familiarity brought a type of informal credit, an allowance of trust.
Advertisers and oil companies leaned into that familiarity. Neon signs promised loyalty. Branded cups and little giveaways made a station more than a pump. Car ads sold not only cars, but lifestyles, weekend freedom, dependable family time, a better tomorrow. Brands handed out stamp books, coupons, loyalty cards that were an early way of retaining customers and nudging repeat spending. We might laugh at the kitschy jingles now, but they shaped expectations. Convenience could be local, and a small purchase could buy membership in a community.
There's another quiet financial change tucked into these rituals, the normalization of small credit purchases. It was common for a family to have an account at a station or a diner, a running tab that was settled later. That habit taught a generation to manage tabs, reconcile statements, and ask for favors when bills came due. It also made small, frequent spending feel less immediate. You didn't always hand over cash at the counter. You trusted the person behind it. That trust smoothed transactions, but it also blurred the moment of payment in a way that resembles some modern subscription behaviors. Except this was local and human, not an invisible recurring charge from an app.
So what did families do well then, and what can we borrow?
They planned rituals, weekly trips, envelopes for small cash, and awareness of the small costs that add up. They relied on local relationships that provided short-term credit and advice, a mechanic recommending a cheaper fix, a station owner remembering your car's quirks. They also lived with slower rhythms. Trips were planned, not impulsive. From that, here's one practical takeaway. Try a modern version of the roadside envelope. Assign a small weekly cash amount or a dedicated debit card for incidental travel expenses, coffee, quick repairs, tolls. When that fund is empty, that's the cue to pause and reassess the trip, not to reach for a digital impulse purchase. It's a tiny ritual that brings the moment of payment back into view.
Nostalgia can sometimes feel like a small, polished memory. We remember the friendly attendant, the neon glow, the pie on the plate. We might forget the hard work behind those moments, longer hours, lower wages for some workers, and fewer safety nets. But even imperfect routines contained durable lessons about planning, signaling priorities with ritual, and using community trust as a short-term financial tool. Maybe what we miss isn't the price or the place so much as the deliberate pace.
And that brings us back to the car idling at the station, waiting for a pie and a full tank. If you take anything from tonight, let it be this. Small rituals shape spending. Slowing the moment of payment, literally putting cash into an envelope, or figuratively deciding that a stop is planned, not impulsive, gives buying decisions gravity again. It's a simple way to borrow the calm of a bygone road trip and make it work for modern budgets.
And that's where we'll leave our journey tonight. The past may look different through modern eyes, but sometimes hidden inside old routines and forgotten traditions, we find pieces of ourselves we've been missing. Thank you for spending a little time traveling through history with me.
If you enjoyed this trip down the highway, please subscribe to Financial Time Machine so we can meet again. Dadgum. Until next time, keep one foot in the past. Good night, and thanks for listening to Financial Time Machine.